morning. Stand with me if you would. Grab your Bibles. We'll just get right into it right away. Go to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. We're just going to have you read. I'm just going to read one verse while you stand, and I'll pray and we'll have you be seated. Isaiah chapter 40. We're going to read verse number 29. Fairly familiar chapter in the Bible. You've probably heard messages and lessons and all that taught on it before. But just because we've heard it doesn't mean hearing a truth again isn't profitable. So hopefully that'll be the case for you this morning. Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 29. The Bible says, "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength." Let's pray. Father, we sure are grateful for today. We're thankful for the opportunity to be in your house, thankful for just you and who you are. Even with the verse that was just read, you are so much for us, so much that we oftentimes don't remember, don't contemplate, don't think about. But God, you are forever all we need. I pray that you just help this message this morning to be glorifying to you, Lord. If it could be a help to somebody, Lord, I do pray that as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So full is good. Would you agree? Full is good. Full tank of gas. That's a good thing. I know, let's not talk about how much it costs to get there, but still, when it is full, it feels good. Don't think about what it costs you to get there, which ties into a full bank account. That's a good feeling, but after you got gas, it's not as full as it was before. But that's not the point this morning, okay? A full bank account is a good feeling. Now, I don't know what that definition actually is of a full bank account, but I've not found it yet. If you know what it is, let me know. A full stomach, that's always good. Like, satisfied, full stomach, that's a good thing. I enjoy that. A full cup of coffee? Okay, I thought I might get a couple there. A full cup of coffee is good. Those diners, like Denny's always used to be, you go to Denny's, and there are times when your cup would never be empty, or never even be half empty. It's always full. Those are the best diners to go to. Having some of these college kids back from school, a full house is good. Full house is fun. As your kids leave, and I'm learning this now as I'm getting older, and my kids leave the house, when they all come back and they're all together, and whether they're fighting or having a good time, a full house is fun. It's a good thing to have. One of the best full things is being paid in full. Like, oh, what an amazing feeling to pay off a loan on a car or a house or something, a credit card, whatever. A paid in full. What an amazing feeling to have a paid in full balance on something. But do you ever have times in your life where you don't feel full, but you feel empty? Right? You feel drained, physically empty, tired, worn out. We all work hard. You work hard at your job. You do things throughout the week, running the kids everywhere this way and that, and you can feel empty physically. You ever felt empty emotionally? I think we've all been there. We've all had times in our lives where you couldn't even cry another tear if you wanted to, because there's nothing left to give. You are empty, empty, empty. Empty spiritually, that's a really bad place to be. To be empty spiritually, to feel alone, to feel as though God is not hearing you, he's not with you. Those types of spiritual emptiness times, and we all have had times like that as well, are difficult. They're not fun. You've given all you can give, right? We've all had days like that and seasons in life where we've filled like we've just given everything. We've given it all. We've not held anything back. It's all gone. You feel like what you had maybe even has been taken from you and drained from you without your permission. We've had times like that, and it could be physical, emotional, spiritual, where things were drained out of you, like leached from you, and you're just like, where did that go? Why do I feel this way? Why am I this way? Where did I just feel drained like it was taken away? Run dry, empty, lacking, without. Those don't sound as fun as full. Those aren't as fun as full. But we all live there sometimes. We all have times in our life that are that way. You may have a time in your life right now. You might be one of those ways right now today in this seat where you sit right now and you're like, yeah, I'm empty in this area. You know it pops to your mind. I don't know what it is. God knows it, and you know it, and you feel it. There are a lot of suggestions on things that we can do to fix that empty feeling, that drained feeling. And a lot of them are good, right? Take time for yourself. Take some me time. Take that bubble bath, Heath, the one you've been wanting to take. Do it. Take those bubble baths. Take those times to just read a book, to sit out in the grass, to enjoy some vitamin D, right? Some me time, some downtime. We all need downtime. If you never stop and you go, 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 you will wear yourself out, for sure. Get more and better sleep. that will help a lot, that empty feeling. And some of us love sleep, maybe a little too much. I'm talking to you college students. You know, I know you've been without for a while. We'll give you a little grace, right? Get a little extra sleep now. But sleep is good for you. Better sleep, scheduled sleep, it's good. It helps. Exercise. Some people say that exercise helps. I mean, maybe it helps you, okay? No, exercise is good for you, right? To be healthy, to work out, to get stronger. Exercise is good for your well-being physically, emotionally. It can help you, for sure. Eat better. That ties into exercise, and that's why I don't like. Exercise is just hard. Eating better is even harder. You know, like, those are tough things. They take discipline. But hydrating is good, right? Everyone, are you thirsty? If everybody's thirsty, I'm the only one who gets to drink right now, although some of you have water bottles, but enjoy. It's good. When you're really thirsty, a good glass of water just hits the spot, right? You can do that. Hydrate will make you feel better. These are all valid ways that you can rejuvenate yourself, right, in your life. Things you can change in your habits, in your day-to-day, that will make you feel less drained, less empty, for sure. And they'll help you. In many areas, they'll help you feel better physically, help you feel better emotionally. But as God's children, we have access to somebody who can sustain us beyond any physical change or means or addition to our lives. We have God, right? And a lot of our, even our physical issues and emotional issues can be tied to our spiritual emptiness. The world is empty spiritually. The world as a culture, right? The world that says there is no God, the world that says you don't need God, they're empty, void, vanity. Spiritually, there's nothing there. And they're searching for anything and everything they can to fill themselves up, and they'll find whatever they can. Some things are good, some things are bad, but they scrape and scrounge and try to find anything they can to fill themselves. And even after they fill themselves with all those things, they're still empty. And they still feel it. Even if they don't know exactly, they can't pinpoint it, their soul is empty because it's minus God. Now, as God's people, as Christians, those that have asked Jesus to save them, we have the Holy Spirit living within us, and he can sustain us. But even with that, we can feel empty spiritually often. We can serve, we can give, we can do for God, and then at the end of the day, go home and just feel, ugh. I did all these things and made these people happy and maybe served and glorified God in my service, and I still feel drained and feel empty. I think that's a valid place to be in life. It's not somewhere we want to be and somewhere we want to stay, but it is a place that we can all end up being. If you're still there in Isaiah chapter 40, go back to verse number 12. I just want to talk about God for a minute. And as God's people, God's children, looking to him to sustain us, it's a good idea to have a good concept of who he is. Because we're like, he's God. Okay, yeah, he's God, and he's just kind of sometimes, even for Christians, just nebulous out there God. Great, that's wonderful. But verse number 12 talks about who God is a little bit. It says, "Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance." Right, this God that we serve, right, he's the God that loves us. Unlike anything else in all our lives, he loves us more than anybody else. All the water of the earth he can hold in the hollow of his hand. And you know what the hollow of your hand is? It's like when you cup your hand, that little spot right there. That's the whole, every bit of water that exists on our planet can sit in that part of God's hand. Okay, it talks about how he meted out creation, right? So it talks about a span. A span is known as the distance between your pinky and your thumb. All of creation, everything God has ever made, all the universe, everything fits in that span, that space for God. If we were to equate it to what our brains can comprehend, right? God's bigger than that, but if he's like, okay, if you want to think about everything that's ever been created, the expanding universe that goes on far beyond any satellite we've ever sent, all that, and then even further, fits like that in God's hand, if you were. Okay, that's what the Bible says. This is your God. This is the God that loves you. This is the God that came to earth, became like you, to become a man, died on the cross, and saved you. That's that God, right? He measured the entirety of creation in that space. Verse number 13 says, "Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him?" He has no counselor. He has no teacher. No one has ever showed him anything new, ever. No new thought has ever come to his mind. You know how we get those eureka moments that someone has figured out like decades ago, hundreds of years ago? We're like, oh, this is a great revelation. And you're like, oh, there's an entire Wikipedia page that someone figured this out a long time ago. Got it. I'm not that smart. Right? We have those moments and like we solve problems and we have those eureka things that we're like, oh, I can figure out how to fix this. God's never had that moment. He's always known everything. He's always had everything solved and figured out. No one can instruct him in anything new, not to him. No being, no nothing can ever instruct God in anything new. That's your God, okay? Verse number 14, with whom took he counsel and who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment and taught him knowledge and showed to him the way of understanding? Nobody did. Verse 15, behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as a small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles with a very little thing. So the entire nationwide, and not even just our nation, worldwide history of nations, right? The great kingdoms and empires that have risen and dominated the known world that have, okay, I'm just going to say it out loud because all you guys are thinking it. The Roman Empire, right? That dominated the known world and set and paved roads and laws and calendars and all the things that the Romans did. God says that nation is like a drop in the bucket. And then he says, not just that nation, every nation. That means America. That means whoever becomes a superpower after us in the future, if God tarries, right? All the nations that have ever existed, the superpowers, the great men, the kings, those that, I mean, the Mongolians, right? Everybody that does amazing, big things that we in America don't even really comprehend. God says all that power is, it's nothing. It's a drop in the bucket to him. It doesn't matter to him. That God described right there, and we could continue on and we'll talk to some other verses or talk about some other verses here in a minute. I just want to lay the groundwork, and you all know this. This is not new revelation to you. This is not a eureka moment. You know this, but that God that is described right there, he's your God. That's the one when you read your Bible in the night or in the morning, whenever you sit down to talk to him, that's who you're talking to. That's who's directing your life. That's who's got you and watching over you. That's who loves you. That's who cares about you. That's who wants the best for your life on this earth. That's him. That's what he does. And this, I mean, to comprehend even those words, putting it in even, it doesn't really comprehend. It's bigger. And I'm glad that God's bigger than I can figure out, because that means he's way bigger than I even understand. But that's your God. He loves you. This God sent his son to die for you. This God is all we need. So when we feel empty, which we will, and you will again, if you feel full now and you're good, you will feel empty. There'll be times in life where you will be empty. This is the God that says, I'm everything you need. I'm going to read a few verses here. You don't have to turn to them in Psalms, Romans, a couple other places, but I just want you to listen to this God. This is the God we describe. Psalm 18:10 says, I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Now, I know he's talking to Israelites, but this also applies to us. He says, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Now, I know that the picture is I open my mouth, I'm sustained with everything I need physically. But God says, I have everything you need. Just be available. I have it for you. Psalm 107:9 says, for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Now, we know he's not talking about food and water there because he's talking about the soul. He's talking about your spiritual need, the spiritual emptiness. That God that does all those things and is all those things, that loves you like he does, he satisfies the longing soul, the empty soul. He'll fill it with goodness. That's what he wants for us, for you. Psalm 119:64, the earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. The earth is full of God's mercy. Man, if God was just in judgment of all that he could rightly do, the earth would be in trouble. We would be in trouble. But God is full of mercy. Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Take what God has for you, be filled with him. That just means allow him to direct your way. Don't allow something else to take over, to make decisions for you, to make your decisions not what they should be, but allow the Spirit to be the one that fills you and directs you. Romans 15:13 says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, and believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. God will give us all the joy. He will fill us with joy. That's partly why I read the verse I read before we started about heaven, is that that's the fullness of joy, right? This mortal body we have is gone. The sin problem we have is gone. All the troubles and emptiness and the tribulations, those are all gone. It's joy and it's fullness of joy in the presence of our Savior. I can't wait. Can't wait for that day. to be in heaven, to see him face to face, to just, I mean, we all have pictures in our mind of what Jesus looks like, and I know the Catholic and other places have made drawings that kind of skew our vision of who he is. I don't think he looks anything like that. But when we actually get to see his face, we won't have to wonder anymore. And you'll see him you'll see him face to face like your best friend you haven't seen in forever. And he knows your name. He knows the deepest parts of you. He knows you like no other person knows you. And at that moment, when that happens, I mean, nothing else is going to matter. Nothing else in this life will matter. And I just want you to think here, before we get any further, about that God is your God. And he loves you. And we all go through difficult times. We all have seasons and times of emptiness. And everybody's emptiness is different. And mine is different. There may be similarities, and we can find some camaraderie there, and we can help each other. That's one of the best things about emptiness, is when you get through it, you can help somebody else that's in a similar situation on how you got through it, hopefully by relying on the Lord. So even the negative things that come our way and the emptiness that comes our way can be used for positive ways to help other people that go through the emptiness. But as I was thinking about this idea of who God is and us being empty, I want to do an illustration. Are you okay with that? Teenagers, you're fine. They woke up, some of them, okay. So I'm going to do a couple things here, and then I'm going to disappear for a minute. But I will be back, so don't worry. Don't leave, okay? So I'm just going to set some things up real quick. And this is just going to illustrate poorly, probably, but illustrate who God is. And that when we're empty, he wants to fill us. Okay, so I'm going to, this poor enough. It's just water, so if it spills, as long as it doesn't go this way, we're okay. Okay, I'll be back. 1 second. Awkward silence. Nobody leave, especially me. Okay, I'm going to come back there in a minute, but it's ready now. It's not alive. It's okay. So, the picture is you, right? This is you. This is me. This is us. This is all that we have and all that we do and what we have to give. And there's a lot of things that require us to give. Okay, your school, right? College kids, you're done. No more papers unless you go back and then you got to do more. But, you know, no more papers for a while. So you give your all to school. Hopefully you gave your all to school. You give everything that you have, and, you know, maybe you give 75% of it, 80%. Okay, but you give that. But then you've got adults, you got your job, okay? It's really hard to not give your all at your job if you want to be successful at it. I mean, and a Christian, if you do what you're supposed to do and do everything as unto the Lord, even at your job that maybe you don't like, you give your job all the stuff you have. Then you go home and you've got a wife or kids or parents or friends, and you got to give your family more, right? You got to give them your time. You got to spend time with them. You got to develop those relationships. God expects us to be giving in our relationship. In our marriage relationship, it's not about what I get from my spouse, it's what I give. And we don't often live that way. We often live that what I can get, even from my spouse. But God says give. That's what he says to do. So you're a good spouse, and so you give. Okay? I'm going to give all to my spouse. I'm going to go all the way to the top on this one, scarily. Brownie points? Yeah, okay. Brownie points in your marriage, okay? But then you've got stuff you got to do. You got to cut your grass. You got to take care of your car. You got to maintain your home. You've got to do the essential things to just live life, right? You got to go get groceries. You have to do things like that. And that takes time and effort. And then you come to church and they're like, okay, pastor's like, well, serve somewhere. Get involved somewhere. You're like, oh, man, it's getting kind of low already, but okay, serve somewhere. So I'm going to get involved in the nursery, right? I'm going to be involved in the Sunday school class. I'm just going to come vacuum. I'm going to take out trash. I'm going to do whatever I can to help serve in God's house. And you're just like, okay, I'm going to give. But oh, wait, hold on. I need to pray. I need to talk to God. I need to give him some. Okay, hold on. Oh, boy, Lord. I don't have a whole lot left for you right now. I'm tired physically. I'm tired emotionally because, I mean, I look at all that I gave in my marriage. I'm emotionally tired, right? I'm tired. So I need more. I need more things and places to put stuff. And God's like, well, what about me? You didn't spend any time with me. You haven't thought about me. You didn't consider. This is what we should do. Consider in all the things you give over here how God would have you give and how it reflects on God. So even when you're at the gas station, you're talking to the gas attendant, how does your conversation with the gas attendant who Let's be honest, most of us don't even remember their faces, or the fast food restaurant employee. A little personal there, right? You don't remember that guy that took your order. Who is that? Some high school kid. So what? But everything you do reflects on God. And you're like, God, what about, I don't have me time. I'm giving, oh, there it is. I'm not a waiter. So I poured out the side. It's okay. So I've given everything I can, and I feel empty. And maybe I actually am empty. You know, I've physically given. I have a health issue, and it prevents me from actually feeling good all the time. It prevents me from doing the things I want to do physically. I have a lot of emotional baggage or emotional stressful relationships in my life that drain me emotionally, and then I have to give emotionally to my spouse and to my Sunday school class, and I have emotionally give to my friends, and even the fast food worker should emotionally give to them. But I don't have anything left emotionally, God. And then spiritually, I almost didn't think about those, right? Because I'm so busy filling, giving on those other things, I almost forgot about the spiritual part of it all. But I've got to should be spiritually giving in all these areas too. I'm like, God, I'm empty. I don't have anything left. Like there's nothing left to give, God. Where am I? How am I supposed to give more back to all these things? Because you know what happens is all these things the very next day, they don't go to you, but they're empty again, right? I have to go back to school. I have to go back to work. I have to continue to carefully invest in my marriage. I have to go back to do all the things at church that I told pastor I would do, and now, man, I kind of don't want to do that this week, but I committed to it. And then all the extra things I have to do at home and all the stuff, oh, they need to be done again. What do you mean the car is broken again? And then God says, I mean, this is a poor representation because you're not filling up God. But God, this is where the things that you're giving God go. And God has given us all that he is, so we should never stop giving him what he deserves from us. But so now I'm empty, and all these things are needed again. I'm like, okay, what do I do, God? How do I keep doing that? And some people say, forget it. I'm done. I'm done with this relationship. I can't give anymore. I'm done with this job now. School is too hard. I'm done with it. I'm going to let my car go because I don't have the effort. I don't have the oomph to do it. I can't serve anymore at church, pastor. I just don't have the time. I don't have the energy. I don't have the will. And you know what? I might not even come anymore. I might only come sometimes to church because I'm just tired. I'm just empty. I'm just frazzled, stressed out. It's valid. Those are valid emotions, valid thoughts, valid feelings and thinking, but it's not the way you should continue on in that thought process. It's valid that it comes because we're human, but it's not valid that is the conclusion we come to. Okay, so now, this is empty. This is water no longer exists. I need something. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to get it from. And then the God we just talked about, our God that has done all those things, who is all that he says that he is, comes in. He's like, oh, I hear you need some filling. Heard you need to be filled up. So open your Bible. Get filled up. Read. I have told you everything you need to know pertaining to life and godliness. Do you want to be filled? Then get filled. Do you expect your spouse to come fill you? Wrong. Do you expect to get job fulfillment? You can get fulfillment from your job, but this is about what it should do. Oh, that felt good. I made that customer's day at work today. They enjoyed that hamburger. Good. That is good. But that's about all that is. That's not going to give you much. I got straight A's. It's probably a little bit more in here. But that's the fulfillment you get from those types of things that the world says, do good in school, be successful, make money. Find a hot wife and love her to death, and then if you get bored, go somewhere else. Right? That's what the world says. We're sorry about the language, but you know, the verbiage. That's what the world says. He goes, get everything you can from all these things, and what you're left with after that is emptiness. God says, you want to be full. I read the verses. Come. I will fill you up. Right? That's what God says. Come to me. I'll fill you up. And so you go to God every day. You pray. You actually seek his face. You don't just do it to get a checklist done. You seek his face. You want to know what he wants for your life. You desire to be filled so you can give to others. You do desire to be filled just so you can live a life that's full, that's abundant, that has something of meaning, that isn't just going through the motions and getting to the end for what, but it is being filled. And so God says, there you go. I'll give you everything you need. And honestly, I could keep that down and this would overflow. And so God goes, I have for you what you need. So you can go into your life and say, hey, okay, I'm tired, but I can give my all to school again. I can go to work and I can do my best because it reflects on the Lord. I can love my spouse, respect my spouse because that's what he or she deserves. I can give to my Sunday school class and all the ministries I have, all the other things that I have. And I'm like, okay, God, I got to come back here. Lord, I need more. Lord, please fill me up. I need more. I can't do it by myself. And that's the idea. You have to realize, you have to humble yourself and say, I can't do it by myself. When I get empty, I can't just make water appear. I can't fill myself just because I'm going to try harder this time. I'm going to do better. I'm going to buckle down. I'm going to give the old college trial. No, it's I cannot do it. If you're a Christian, I can't do it. I need God to fill me back up. And the awesome thing about God is he'll fill me. And they'll come over and they'll be like, oh, I just filled him up. You need to be, okay, come on, I'll fill you up too. And God goes, I'll fill you up. And he'll fill everybody up. He'll fill all of us up in here. He'll fill every Christian in the entire world. The Christians that live in way harsher conditions that we live in, that are fearful for their lives on Sunday today, that if they meet, they may not make it home because they may be killed by the government or some roaming band of soldiers. Right? He says, I'll fill them up too. I'll fill everybody up. And this is not full, but you get what I'm saying. To scale, I'll just keep filling. And God says, yeah, keep coming. Remember, the nations are as a drop in the bucket. The power of the biggest governments and everybody that's ever done anything is nothing to me because I just keep giving. And God says, I keep giving and I'll keep coming and just filling your pitcher, filling you up, giving you everything that you need. You just have to keep coming to me. You just keep relying on me. And God says, well, I'm empty again. Okay, come on back. Come on back. I'll fill you up again. That's what God says. But he says, if I don't come to you though, I can't be like, okay, God, I'm adjacent. God, I sure love church. I like going to church most of the time. I mean, sometimes I struggle to get here. That's okay. It's okay to struggle to get here. Sometimes I miss. That's okay too. But we should do our dead level best to be here every time I am. But, you know, this can be a danger also for kids that grow up in church. We know God. We know about God. We know of God. We're all around him all the time. He's adjacent to us. We're part of him. We see our mom and dad pray. We hear our mom's stories about the times God answered her prayer. We see the things that God did in other people's life, and we're like, yeah, I know God. He's right here. Look, we're right next to each other. We're buddies. Me and God are buddies. And then we go out into the world, and we start giving all these things, and we're like, wait a minute, where'd all my oomph go? I'm empty. But God, I thought you were going to fill me. God, I need something. Hello. Well, God doesn't love me. Well, forget God then. I'll go find something else. And then we go find some other thing to fill us, which we already talked about, and we'll fill up with the world what the world has to offer, and we find out we're still empty. We don't have everything we need. You need to have a relationship with God, to know God, to be able to talk to him so that he talks to you. And then when you have that relationship, then he fills you, then he gives you what he has. He expects to be honored, he expects to be glorified, he expects to talk to you. He expects to have a conversation with you, to have a relationship with you. And when you do work on that relationship, and some days it's hard, some seasons it's hard, but when you continue through that relationship, God says, I'm still here. I didn't change. I didn't move. I am who I said I was. I've always been. The whole universe fits in my hand. All the waters of the world fit in the hollow of my hand. This is where I have always been. Come to me and I will give you, fill you up all the way. Now, if we are not doing that, we'll attempt to be rely on ourselves, and we'll get like something like a filthy rag of our own, and we'll be like, okay, God, I'll figure it out this time. We'll soak up what's in here, what we maybe have in reserve, and we'll come over and be like, all right, honey, this is what I got for you. And it was like, oh, thanks, gross. Dirty rag water, wonderful. No one wants that. But that's what we do when we try to do it on our own. We'll have nothing to give, and we'll give up or get mad, walk away, or we'll try to do it on our own strength. And we'll go to all these other resources we have, even other books, even other speakers, other teachers, and we'll try to soak up something that really isn't God, and we'll try to squeeze it out because it's what we've got. it might do some good, but it's a mistake if you're not going to the source. You want to go to the source, not have all this water up here and I don't know what to do with it all. But you want to go to the source. I'm going to move this for distraction's sake, because that's the distraction, right? That one. Put that over there. So the idea is, go down, if you're still in Isaiah chapter 40, go down to verse number 28. And this is continue to talk about who God is and what he's done. In verse number 28 says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding." The everlasting God, he never ends. Ever. Never. Never. He never diminishes. He never becomes less. God, who God is today in 2026, is the same God that was at day one in the Garden of Eden. That God, he stands outside time. Time means nothing to him. He has not grown stronger in the years. He has not grown weaker in the years. He has grown nothing up or down. He is the same all-powerful, mighty God that he has always been. That is that God. He is everlasting. The creator of all. There's no new idea that he's not thought of. There's nothing that he's not contemplated. Everything exists solely because of him. And that's your God. Your heart beats because of him. The science of how the blood flows and your oxygen replenishing your blood cells and the nerves and the brain and all the things that we just don't even think about that just happen exist because of him. That's your God. He never faints. The word faints there means he never tires. His energy level is consistent all the time. It says he never grows weary. That word weary there literally means to gasp. Like you feel that. I feel that a lot of days. God doesn't do that. He never gets weary. Right? And we read verse 29 already. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. That powerful God that we read about here earlier in Isaiah 40, he gives of that power to those that are faint, to those that are tired. Is that you today? Are you tired today? You faint in some area of your life, physically, emotionally, spiritually? Are you drawn out? Are you weary? Are you depleted? The Bible says he giveth power to them. He doesn't say if you're faint. He says, if you by chance maybe get faint, I'm available. He says, I give power to the faint. That you're going to get faint. You're going to have those times. But God has the power to sustain you through that. But you've got to go to him. You've got to open that tap. You've got to go to him and open your mouth, as he said, to allow him to fill you. But he fills. He gives that power to the faint. Verse number 30. This is one of my favorite verses just because of the third word here. Even the youths. I just like that version of the word youth. All you youths out there. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Right? God continues to prove his point that he is who he is by saying the group of people that are generally known for having the most energy and the most strength are the young. The older you get, it's just physically proven, you diminish in strength, you diminish in all those things, and then we die. Real encouraging, I know. But God says those that we would look at and say they have the strength, they have the energy, they have the ability to get things done, even they get tired, even they faint, even they fall, God says. But God says, not me. I don't do that. And then continuing on in verse number 31, everyone knows this verse most likely, but they, so after those that utterly fall, the youths that faint, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. So when we wait, that phrase wait upon the Lord implies a binding together by twisting. That's what, if you look it up in the Hebrew, that's what it means. It's an idea of twisting together, binding yourself, wait upon the Lord, binding yourself in by twisting together. It's kind of like a marriage relationship, right? You leave your father and your mother, you cleave unto your spouse. It's an idea of becoming one, and it's becoming each other. That's the idea. That's why marriage is that way, because that's the way God is. So God says, if you wait on me, if you entwine yourself and bind yourself to me, he says, I will renew your strength. So he'll fill you back up, even when you're like, nothing can fill me. I'm done. I can't give any more. No, I won't give any more. No one gets any more from me. I'm done for the day, for the year, forever. God says, you come to me, you wait upon me, and I will fill you. I will renew that strength that you had and give you a strength that only I can give you. Right? Relying on God refills our strength. Relying on God allows us to do what God has called us to do. And he's called every human being that hears my voice in this room, he's given you something to do. He's given you something to do. If it only is to tell others about him, that is a job we all have. And he's given everybody talents, everybody gifts, everybody, he has a plan for every single human being in this room for him. Does that involve you being happy and successful? Of course it does. But does that mean you can still be doing things for him when you're empty and you're not full and you're not happy and maybe not successful? Yeah, it does, because he will renew your strength no matter where your status is. Right? Relying on God allows us to do what he's called us to do. It says there at the end of verse number 31, they shall run. You don't want to run when you're tired. When you're empty, you don't want to run. I don't want to run ever. Even if I'm fully rested, I don't want to run unless something's chasing me. Then I'll run. I don't like running. I'd rather walk. But he does say that too. But he says, you shall run and not be weary. Right? You'll be able to run without being exhausted and emotionally drained. You can still continue on no matter how empty you feel right now. You can still continue on because God. You can still run because God. You're like, I can't even crawl. I'm so empty. Okay. But he will fill you to where you can run again. It says shall. It doesn't say if you want to or it, maybe you'll be able to. He says you shall run and not be weary. They shall walk. That's for us that don't want to run. We can just walk. And not faint. Right? God says if you're going to run, you're going to walk, you're going to continue to do what I've asked you to do, what I've called you to do, what I've purposed for you to do in this earth for me, you can do those things if you wait on me. If you bind yourself to me. He says, so go to God for your filling. And I know we know that. I know every Christian in here knows I need to spend time with the Lord if I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. I know every Christian in here knows I can't do it on my own strength. I can't rely on my own wisdom and on my own oomph. I've got to use the Lord. But when it comes down to it, a lot of times we rely on our own strength. I rely on my knowledge, my experience, what I've done and seen. And I'll just figure it out. I'll make it happen. And we don't go to God enough to say, I don't know what to do, Lord, because that requires us to be humble. That requires us to say, yes, no, I don't have an answer. I need your wisdom. And we don't get the understanding of how God transfers his wisdom into our life, whether it's through a sermon, through a lesson, through a pastor, through a friend that gives something to you that you didn't even know you were looking for. When you're reading in God's word and he brings something to you you've never seen before, but it's what you needed in that moment, it's supernatural. And so because we're Christians and probably because we're Americans, we don't rely on God's supernatural wisdom because we don't really get it sometimes. It doesn't compute in our brains, and so we're like, I just got to try harder. I just got to be better. I got to do more. And God says, no. That's how you run yourself dry and run yourself empty, and then you can't give everything you should. God says, I will renew your strength. I will give you my strength. My strength renewed is better than your strength on the full tank. So come to me and allow me to fill you. Right? He desires to fill us. He desires to enable us. That is his desire. He would love nothing more for us to serve him and do his will, and our lives would be the better for it. When you do what God has for you to do, you're happier. You're more joyful. Even if you don't think that that makes sense, because you can't even fathom how what God would have you do would be better than what you think is best. And we've all had times like that. We've all had times like that. But God still stays God. God is full of mercy. And God waits for us to turn and change our minds, to repent of the pride that we have that we can figure it out, to repent of the pride that we have in our hearts that says, I know better, or I'll just make it work. God waits, has mercy, long-suffering, and then when we repent and come back, actually, God, I need you. He's like, good. He doesn't rub it in your face. He doesn't say, I told you. Well, I'm just going to not give you as much as I could have. God says, great, come on, let's go. I'm glad you figured it out. Let me fill you up. We got stuff to do. We've got people to influence. We've got lives to change. We've got hearts to turn to Him. He starts with our hearts, and then He wants us to turn others and tell others. God desires to enable us. He desires for us to live this life on earth with all the struggles, with all the heartaches, with all the weariness that exists, but to look to Him for the strength to do it. Because God doesn't say He'll take away the weariness from you. He doesn't say He'll take away the emptiness, take away the struggles, take away the problems. They won't go away. This world is full of sin, and so are we. So those things won't go away. But what He does say is if we come to Him in spite of all those things, we can still be full. We can still be useful and do things for Him. So look to Him if you're running on E. If you're running on E today, or you see the line getting down there, maybe you're below E. Have you ever driven your car that far? We're like, we're below the red line on E. Who knows? This could go another 2 miles. It could be done now, right? Pastor already told that story about running out of gas last year, right? We won't bring that up again, though, because that's rude. We all can run out of gas. It just came to my mind. Don't tell him. We can all run out of gas, but God has all the gas, everything that we can need. So if you're running on E right now, if you're empty in some area of your life, let Him bring you back to full. Let Him bring you back to full. He's not going to force it. He's not going to pry your mouth open and fill it. He just says, open your mouth, and I will fill it. Allow Him to fill you. Eastside Baptist Church, if we are going to make an impact in this community, which I hope all of us want to, not just in our own lives, but in the people that live here, if you want these pews to be more full, full pews is good. Yeah, well, there's another good thing that's full. If we want Sioux Falls residents and the surrounding area residents to be sitting in these pews, enjoying the benefits and the joy that Jesus brings, it requires us to be full from Him to go do. It does. And sometimes that's what prevents us from being full, because then like, well, now I have a responsibility. Don't be afraid of those things. Don't be fearful of what God has in store for us. Don't be fearful of what God has in store for you. God wants to do way more than I think even any of us can imagine. We all put ceilings in our lives that we think, I'm not good enough to get past this area. And God says, no, you're not, but I can help you go way past that. God has the ability and wants to. So if you're running on E, if you're empty in some area of your life, you're drained, you're wanting, allow God to fill you. Renew that relationship with Him today. Right? We use the words recommit your life, and it becomes cliche sometimes, I think, in our circles. But just reinvest in your relationship with the Lord. Get back on board. Do it intentionally. Do it on purpose. Reach out to Him. It's like a friend you haven't seen for a long time. If neither one of you reach out, no one's ever going to, you know, that relationship's never going to grow. But if you take that first step and you reach out, awesome thing about God is He's like, I'm here. You reach out, He just immediately comes to where you are. He is the best friend we could ever have, the best relationship you could ever have. So reinvest in it. Get on your knees. Get on your face. Ask Him to fill you, and He will. All right, let's bow our heads, close our eyes. You can stand with me if you would. I appreciate your attention. I appreciate your engagement this morning. Something that's been on my heart, and it's something I've used and needed in my life many, many times. And I know if you're human like I'm human, you probably have needed it, and you might need it today. And it's not because of what I said, because I don't know nothing. I don't know what I'm talking about. I mess up on what I say all the time. I'm not smart, but God is. I can't fill you, but God can. I can't give you what you need. No human can, but God can. And He uses His word, and He uses people to inform us and help us along, to give us the strength and the encouragement to go to Him and go to the source of all that we need. So if you're running on E today, something in your life has just drained you to the end, and you know God is there for you, but you've just not turned to Him as much as you should, do that today. Take this morning as a sign from God that you should go to Him more often, that you should make your relationship with Him stronger. I don't think I would be saying too much if I said that's what He would want for you. So as the music plays, you do business with the Lord.